consoles ready to come off duty. Muzarawa was hovering by the hatch that led back to the berths. Swimming over to the life support console, Karlstad pointed at one of its display screens. "Captain, it's not me. It's the mission regulations. The medical monitors show a dangerous level of fatigue poisons in your blood. Your reflexes have slowed. Your pulse and respiration rates are approaching the red line." Krebs said nothing. She merely floated in the middle of the cramped bridge, glowering at Karlstad. Muzarawa said reasonably, "Captain, if you don't rest, your performance will deteriorate even more. The mission's regulations require you to relinquish command when your physical parameters..." "I know the regulations," Krebs snapped. "You must rest, Captain," Muzarawa said, even more gently. "Even if it's only for an hour." Grant thought she doesn't want to disconnect from the ship. She's hooked on being connected like an addict. To Grant's surprise, though, Krebs' baleful frown dissolved into a dejected mask of defeat. "Very well, if you insist." "It's for the better, Captain," said Muzarawa. "Yes, I understand," Krebs began disconnecting slowly, begrudging every move, as far as Grant could see. The bridge fell absolutely silent as she disconnected. When at last she was free of the fiber-optic lines, she said sourly, "Very well. Dr. Muzarawa, I place you in charge. Dr. Karlstad, wake me in 1 hour." "In 1 hour," said Karlstad. "Right." She pushed off the overhead with one hand and swam toward the hatch. Muzarawa was still hovering there, looking surprised as Krebs headed straight for him. She banged into Muzarawa and bounced off, with a gasp of surprise, her eyes going wide. "Pardon me, Captain," Muzarawa said, also looking shocked. I didn't notice you there," Krebs stuttered. She reached gropingly for the edge of the hatch, gripped it in one chunky hand, pulled herself through, and slid the hatch shut behind her with a bang. For a long moment, no one on the bridge said a word. Then Karlstad whispered, "Jesus Christ, she's blind." "No," said O'Hara. "That can't be." "You saw her," Karlstad insisted. "She ran smack into Zeb. She didn't see him. She said so herself." "That's why she wants to remain linked with the ship," Muzarawa said slowly. "She can see through the ship's systems." Karlstad nodded grimly. "But when she disconnects, she's blind as a bat." Confusion. "Well, what are we going to do about it?" O'Hara asked. "We can't have a blind woman running the mission," said Karlstad. Muzarawa, connecting the optical fibers from his console, pointed out, "But she's not blind when she's connected." Karlstad began to link up too. "Whatever damage was done to her visual cortex, it's gotten worse." "'Tis the pressure we're under," said O'Hara. "Right. It's damaging her brain even more," Karlstad agreed. "It only seems to affect her visual cortex," Muzarawa said. "So far," said Karlstad. "How long will it be before other parts of her brain start to cave in?" His eyes riveted on the closed hatch, Grant heard himself say, "She's sailing us toward the red spot." "She'll turn off long before we're in any danger," Muzarawa said. "Will she?" Karlstad asked. "Of course she will." "I think she's going crazy," Karlstad said. "She was always a tyrant. Now she's getting fanatical, ignoring a direct order from the IAA. "We all agreed that we want to continue this mission," Muzarawa said. "Did we?" Karlstad shot back. "Nobody asked me." "Are you afraid, Gunn?" O'Hara challenged him. "Afraid? Me? 90 kilometers down with a crazy blind woman in command who's telling the IAA to stick it in their lower intestine? What's there to be afraid of?" Muzarawa finished connecting his optical fiber links. "I think a certain amount of fear is a healthy sign, but we mustn't let it overwhelm us. We must not panic or take rash actions." "What do you mean by rash?" O'Hara asked. "Relieving Krebs of command," Karlstad replied instantly. We can't do that, Grant said. Not even if she's going to get us all killed? There is no evidence of that, said Muzorawa. Then he added, as yet. O'Hara looked toward the closed hatch. She must be in terrible pain. She doesn't act it, said Carlstead. Not physical pain, perhaps, but imagine being blind, unable to see. Unless she's connected to the ship. Yes, said O'Hara in a whisper, there is that. So what are we going to do? Carlstead demanded. No one had an answer. Krebs returned to the bridge exactly 1 hour after she'd left, without the need for Carlstead to rouse her. Watching her link up, it now seemed obvious to Grant that she couldn't see. She fingered each of the optical fibers, her eyes unfocused, and ran its end across the electrodes in her legs until its minuscule electrical field clicked into place with the proper implant. She can't see the color codes on the fibers, Grant realized. She can't see anything at all. Until she was completely wired and activated her linkage. Then she straightened up and took command. Mr. Grant, what are you gawking at? She demanded. Grant snapped his head around and stared at his console. Nothing, Captain. You tend to your duties, Mr. Grant, and I will tend to mine. Yes'm. Dr. Krebs, said Muzorawa, we must discuss your condition. There is nothing to discuss. I'm afraid there is. I am fully capable of executing my responsibilities, Krebs said. Grant thought he heard the slightest of tremors in her voice. Dr. Krebs, the trauma to your visual cortex is worsening. Krebs glared at him, but said nothing. It is possible that it will continue to worsen, Muzorawa went on, calmly, reasonably, almost gently. It could lead to a cerebral hemorrhage. I know that, said Krebs, her voice several notches lower than usual. I accept that risk. We should abort the mission and return to the station, Muzorawa said. Grant marveled at how impersonally he managed to put it. No blame, no shame. Krebs hovered in the middle of the bridge, breathing hard enough for Grant to see her chest rising and falling. The ship was running smoothly enough. He still felt the steady thrum of the generator and the energy of the thrusters, but that was all background now, like the constant aching pressure behind his eyes, like the growing, dull pain in his back, pushed to one side as he focused consciously on the interplay between Muzorawa and Krebs. At last she said, If we return to the station with nothing to show for our efforts, they will never permit another mission. They have already ordered us to abandon our work. I will not do that. Not under any circumstances. Is that clear? But your health is in danger. Your life. What good is my life if I can't pursue the search to which I've devoted it? Krebs' voice rose powerfully. What use would my life be if I am not permitted to do the work which I love? I have already sacrificed everything else in my life. Family, friends, even lovers, to be here, in this damned ocean, seeking the answer to the greatest question of them all. Is there intelligent life here? Will we find a companion species, another life form with which we can converse? Will the human race's loneliness end here, in the hot sea of Jupiter? None of the crew could say a word. They all stared at her. Krebs broke into a bitter smile. I see the disbelief on your face, Dr. Carlstead. You find it difficult to believe that I had lovers. No, not at all, Carlstead stammered. We go on, Krebs said. I don't care if I die here. Better here than in some dusty classroom where I wouldn't even be allowed to teach about extraterrestrial life. Muzorawa replied meekly, Yes, Captain. Krebs nodded as if satisfied, then turned her baleful look toward O'Hara. Dr. O'Hara, dive angle of 5 degrees, now. Lane glanced at the others, then asked, We're going deeper? Deeper, said Krebs.